Okay, good evening, Abba Isai. Good evening. Tonight's topic, Beza Hashem, is not really Yom Kippur related at all. It just happens to have fallen into this simon. It's all about telling off. We all like to tell people off. We all like to say, "Hey, you're doing this wrong. Hey, you're doing that wrong," and it's natural. Yeah, it's part of some of our profession. And the question is as follows: the is halachas about this? When can we? When should we? When maybe not? Tell the people are doing something wrong. So what we discussed, the scenario discussed yesterday, is women that they eat at a time on Erev Yom Kippur, which really they're not meant to eat anymore at that stage. It's really past the deadline. And Shulchan Aruch discusses as to whether it's proper or not to say, "Hey, why are you eating? You should have stopped 6 minutes ago." Again, we're not talking about the heart of Yom Kippur, when it's actually really, really Yom Kippur. What we are addressing is the month of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, like we find on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah, say the Reiser, of adding Mechodel HaKodesh to make a bit of weekday into Shabbos. So too, on Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah that you have to do a bit of weekday into Yom Kippur. Very good. So that's a good question. The Shulchan Aruch scenario is Shulchan Aruch holds of Rabbeinu Tam, and he's talking about before his Shkir, which would really mean 58 minutes after our Shkir. In terms of us, it's a good question as to whether either way, exactly. Either way, Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch does tell us that there is no zman exactly how long it's going to be. If you just do 1 minute, that may be sufficient, and it probably is sufficient time to consider Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Either way, the point that the angle that we're looking at is in terms of should you tell them off, yes or no? And the Shulchan Aruch then goes into the discussion, into the conversation about, okay, so generally, when are you meant to tell people off or not? And the rule of thumb is that, so if you see somebody doing something wrong, I don't know, you see somebody has got this shop open on Shabbos, should you tell him, "Hey, close your shop, close it now"? What if somebody eats something with a hechsher which is not that great? Are you going to tell him, "Goy, why are you eating this?" What if you see somebody doing something which is not klisheni, kind of klirishen, you know, coffee you want to do on a klishlish, you're doing a klisheni, da da da, you got something. When he meant to tell people, and the reality is we know at the same time, it's a mitzvah slichocho, hechach tuchach, it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. That means you can't just say, "Oh, you know, the nice British attitude, it's nothing with me, let people live as they want, you know, it's like protected characteristics, do what you want, what I'm saying?" So that's also wrong, because we've got to care sufficiently about Hashem and His Torah and about Klal Yisrael that we've got to tell people that they are doing something wrong. So the point that Shulchan Aruch is telling us over here is that I'm reading the words of the Rama, who are in I'm reading on Mutov Sheshoygin V'loy Mezidin. So the first point that we've got to appreciate is that you only tell people off if you know they are going to listen to you. So if you know that's not going to work, then don't bother. Because often what you're going to end up doing is what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to over here. Before that, he was doing it as a shoygig, which is bad enough, but it is ultimately a shoygig. It's inadvertent. It's a shoygig. And by telling him, "Hey, that's wrong," he's still going to keep on doing his wrong custom, and he's going to do it now as a mezid, which is far, far worse. So if you know that your words are not going to accomplish anything constructive, you're better to be quiet. Motiv shoygin v'alyu mezidin. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch over here tells us regards to the ladies who are eating too late. These ladies are not going to stop because they don't understand Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the Zman, it's the light outside, it's not what's the promise before Shkir. So there's little point in actually telling them off. So don't bother. If it's not going to work, just don't bother. The Mishtiburin, that's what we, so yesterday as well, asked, what about if you're not sure? It may or may not work. If you tell him, Listen, you're not really meant to make coffee in a klirishin. You know, because kalei abishol, and you explain it. You know, you may stop doing a coffee in a klirishin. He may stop pouring the coffee from the urn into the hot water straight into the coffee. Because, you know, he's your brother-in-law, and you could tell him that, listen, really, ideally, put the water in, and then afterwards put the coffee in. Or if you dafka want to do by pouring in, so put the coffee in, and then pour the water in, whatever. But either way, don't put the urn water straight into the coffee. You can't do that. So the question is as to whether, if you he may listen to you, or he may not, depends on his mood. He may or may not. It's, by the way, often it's nothing to do with his mood, it's got to do with the way you tell him, right? Very often it's about that. So, but yeah, but if you're not sure, so Mishnah Berurah says over here that if you are besofek, Shema Yikablu Tzorchelim Chois, Hafilu Mitzvabon, Mishnah Berurah tells over here, which I believe is quite a chiddush, if you're in doubt, you should tell him. So the only time you should never tell him is if you know for fact it's not going to work. If you're in a suffix that you may or may not listen, one should tell him. Now, the Ramona continues with a very, very important disclaimer, and there's a bit of a debate how to understand this. And continuing with the words of the Ramona, two lines from the bottom of page 146. Everything we said now is only if it's not mefurish in the Torah. Meaning it's not explicit in the Torah. Avot bishu deraisa. Even if it's deraisa. Avot im mefurish b'Torah, but if what he's transgressing is a mefush and explicit pasuk in the Torah, then moichin biyadim, you should tell him off. Pardon? Yeah, so no, so the Gemara continues. If you know, even such an instance, if you know that he's not going to listen, there's no chance he's going to listen to you. All you're going to hear from him is the big, big thrust that he's going to be, who are you to tell me? Who do you think you are? Yeah, if it's that kind of reaction you're going to get, then if you know, don't go public. So don't just write a public letter in the Hamadia. You know what? No. See, that's not going to work. Just do it once, gently, and try once. Don't be the one that keeps on dashing about this and keep on going on and on and on. Whenever he sees you, he knows exactly what you're going to talk about. And I said, no, don't bother. But nevertheless, individually on a one-to-one basis, if you know he's not going to listen to you, yes, you do go gently over to him. You try once, until you feel that he's going to hit you and he's going to get in danger. So let's just get this clear. The three points that the Ramah teaches over here. It's quite a lot over here. So firstly, the Ramah gives us the concept of mutav shiur shogigin. Generally speaking, if it's a shogig and you know that you're not going to achieve anything, so keep it as a shogig level. Point number one. Then we said that, hold on, but there isn't disclaimer within that. And that's if something is explicit in the Torah. If something is explicit in the Torah, you should tell him, even if it's a shogeg, and that's going to move into a mezid. If something is explicit in the Torah, such as, don't lie at fire on Shabbos. You see, this guy is really enjoying it. He's constantly making these fires. So it's a shogeg, he doesn't. So you think yourself mutav shoshogin? I better not tell him. So no. That in this instance we don't say mutav shoshogin, but we say it because it's mafush in the Torah. Pasuk says explicitly, don't make a fire on Shabbos. So that's that. We've got to discuss and understand why this is so. But give me a few minutes because I want to see the other points that the Ramah says. Yeah, very good question. Yeah, so whether you'd give him middas, yeah, very good. These are all very good question. Very good question. What is considered mefush b'toyre? What about the kavachoymas? You'd give him middas shatosh b'dashven. It's a very interesting question. Pash is what he's referring to. It's only explicit. Yeah, very good. So, this is, yeah, right. But either way, it would be a chatzishir, which is discussed even with it. If you have a chatzishir, it's also discussed whether chatzishir mefush b'toyre or not. So, there's very good. Many questions are within that. A good example, by the way, is shaving with a razor. Shaving with a razor. So you know somebody that is using a razor, which is a mefurish pasuk in the Torah. So even if it's a shogeg, but it's a mefurish pasuk in the Torah. So you got to tell him. Now, the Rambam continues and tells us, if you know, however, and that's a disclaimer within the disclaimer, if you know for sure that your words are not going to accomplish anything. So now we'll distinguish. We say, okay, you've got to be realistic, and you've got to do it. If it's in public, don't bother. Don't bother doing anything in public. If it's gently in private, even if you think most likely it's not going to get, you're not going to get anywhere, but yeah, you should give it a try. You should give it a try. You should give it a try privately. You know you're unlikely to achieve anything, but still you should give it a try. Unless you think you're going to get one big kick, and he's going to throw you out the window, and he's never going to talk to you again, and he's going to, you know, he's going to get all rude about it, then under any circumstance, you don't have to go so far. Now, good. Now, there is an interesting bialach over here. The bialach speaks about a former point that we discussed, about Dabar Shem Mefurish B'Torah. So something is Mefurish in the Torah, you should tell him anyway. What's the background of that? Okay, so we started off making a distinction between Mezid and Shoigeg. If it's a Shoigeg, and you know you're going to listen, Mutav Shoigin. But then why are we saying, hey, but if there's an unfortunate passing in the Torah, you should go for it. Why?
The argument, you won't be able to come back with it. You say
it's black and white. Yeah. It's black and white. Yeah, but you're saying that it's a strong, it's like a, if it's Torah Shabbiksav, they could say, well, I interpret this phrase differently. The rabbis, they've got all these agendas, kind of thing. So, but if it's a Mefushim Pasuk, you say, look in this art scroll, look at that, look, it's black and white. So interesting. So Mishmur says, so what we learn over here is as follows. I hear what you're saying. Oh, yes, Chofetz Chaim's your side. Is it Chofetz Chaim? Is it not on Chav Dalet?
It's Chav Dalet.
Oh wow, schus again alone. Wow. So Shem Mefurish B'Torah Sif Katan Vav. Shem Mefurish B'Torah Tzilav Shalom. You know what? I'm going to say, if that's the case, I didn't realize. I want to say stop at the Chofetz Chaim regarding what we're learning now. Okay. We'll let me add something. Thank you so much for pointing out. Pardon? Pardon? Oh, very good, very good. Sivkotn vav, shenu vosh betoy, roitze loima, to oz, on oi yoichem litlo shogin mutim in bezeh, mashalish mulonu, mashalim olem shu osu, machmas de kilu adava, aval betova shem afurish betoy, if something is explicit in the Torah, vim oivim wal zeh, and the oivim on this, pavadai einom shogigin, it's not considered a shogig, vore shayich pu, vim mutim shu shogin, he said that you cannot say, if somebody is a shogig, he said you can't, you're not really a shogeg. If something is explicit in the Torah, how can it be a shogeg? Shogeg means you have no idea. And we don't want to make a shogeg into a mezid. Yeah, but what do you mean a shogeg? How can you not know? It says in the Torah explicitly, don't use a razor. It says, don't make a fire on Shabbos. It says explicit in the Torah, don't hit your father. That is, you know, that don't curse your... He says explicitly in the Torah, so you can't tell me he's a shoigeg. He's just pretending to be a shoigeg. He's not genuinely a shoigeg because it's mefurish in the Torah. So that's why mitzvah shel shoigeg doesn't apply when it's mitzvah mefurish b'Torah.
Rabbi,
yes.
Rabbi, he's still a shoigeg surely because if he's an Amoretz,
good,
he might be in the Torah, but he doesn't know it's in the Torah. Like the non-Jews, they have to keep the seven laws, but I bet the majority of them don't know the seven laws, so how can he be? He surely must be a shogeg because
okay,
he hasn't learned the Torah.
Okay,
he
good, good, good. Okay, so Stephen, what you're saying is brilliant. It's very brilliant because that's exactly what the Bialocha addresses. Bialocha then says as follows: says, okay, that's all very good, and we're talking about average, normal kind of people. Yes, it's true, but the Chofetz Chaim says, hold on, I know plenty of people that have no clue about anything. How are you going to deal with them? How are you going to deal with this person that is never, that doesn't do a thing, it doesn't keep a thing? You're going to go up to him and tell him, you know, this shit is the hold, that this eruv over here might only be, and that there's a shaila about the ktsois that tells us the chatchili should avoid, unless it's a b'mokim tzoyich gadol. You know, you're going to say, well, he doesn't know what you mean. You're going to tell him not to carry on Shabbos. He's going to think you fell straight from Mars. You're going to tell him not to eat Yom Kippur. You know, there's people out there that so what do you deal with it? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us of here in Bialocha that Eilu apoyer ke oil legamri. So there's people that are mamash poyer ke oil. Bialocha viyate towards the end of Avolim. So poyer ke legamri. You go and mechal Shabbos v'hesia. People that don't keep Shabbos at all. Oy oichal neveiz zachis. Or people who are willingly eating neveles and tefes, they don't eat kosher. Kvayotze michlal amisecho, they're already excluded from amisecho. They're not already. How are we going to translate amisecho?
Fellowship.
Fellowship sounds good. All right. Okay. Let's go for fellowship. One second. Ve'enu mechayev lechichoy. Don't be mechiach them. You're likely to cause more harm than good. Don't tell a person who's not ready for it that. Don't don't shave on Chol HaMoed. I mean, don't tell a person don't eat flashing a milchik if he's not ready for it. Don't tell a person that if he's not ready for it, he's not misecho at that stage yet. V'chenis betanel belio hoicheach tochiach is amisecho v'amisech shu oiv choshu amcho imcho betoira umitzis atochayv lechiach oisoi havele rosho shu soinecho eno tochayv lechiach oisoi. Don't be mechiach somebody that is completely not within the remit. At that stage, he's not ready for tochocha, and all you got to do is to be really, 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 really nice. That's all you got to be. Be very kind. Be very nice. No tochocha at that stage. So everything we're discussing now, says the Bialocha, with regards to Mutav Shoshoy again, Toshim Afush, but that's only if somebody dies within the, how should we call it, within the, within the club?
Club.
All right, yeah. Within that. So then you can say, you know, did you know that really, ideally, we don't, you know, X, Y, Z. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What about a case, and I think there are cases, where you've got a very frum boy, he's been to yeshiva, might even been to kollel, and then suddenly he goes off the derech completely.
Okay.
He knows what he's doing is wrong, and he's not then, would he be a shogeg then?
That's a good question.
Because I have heard of cases where, unfortunately, for whatever reason, people go, they go to yeshiva, and they find, and then a few years later, they've gone off the derech, they think it's all a bit too much and all this, and then you then see them doing something which is Mechal Shabbos. So would he be classed as a shogeg in that scenario? Because he knows it's wrong from when he was in yeshiva, but he doesn't believe in it or whatever anymore.
So what as to whether mitzvah tichocha applies to such a person?
Yeah.
What's your question?
Would that person be regarded as a shogeg? Because he would presumably from his years in yeshiva or kollel, he would have known what he's doing is wrong.
Yeah, right. He probably does know. Yeah.
He probably does know. So then he wouldn't be a shogeg, would he?
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose you're right. He's not really considered a shogeg. Yeah.
So that's even worse than for him.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I suppose it depends on the scenario, but you're right. He's not going to be considered a shogeg. Yeah. Okay.
But if you see him doing it, should you rebuke him?
In such a case, I'd imagine the way you're describing it, you're probably going to cause more harm than good. Yeah.
Kosher restaurant, so they had a team lunch every Friday, and they went to the one kosher restaurant
really?
In Brent Street.
Serious.
I spoke to him quietly once, I said a quick word to him, just gently. I said to him, look, I said, I've worked here for a while, I said, everyone knows me, everyone knows, everyone's got respect for who I am, and I don't need to compromise for other people. So he said to me, this is me now.
Right.
I said to him, no, it's not you. I said, listen, I said, look, this, he said, you will come back one day. And you know what he said to me? Maybe.
Very good. What a bocha v'tzadik. I'm sure he's going to. Very good. Yeah. There is one more very fascinating bialoch over here, which I feel is important for us to know. The bialoch on the side brings from the Sefer Chassidim, from Gemara Brachos really. Le'olam yodu adam mem koim rabbi shemekabel tichachtoi v'imlav al yodu mutav shushoygin. Mishbu over here says on the side the bialoch is a person should. Everything you were discussing in the Tichocha, you see somebody else doing something wrong. But Mishnah Berurah says that we've also got to remember that we also have to put ourselves in a position that we are ready for Tichocha. So he says, you've got to live in a place where, what he says, Mokum Rabbo, his place of his teacher, his mentor, that he knows that if he were to do something wrong, he's going to be told off. He's going to get guidance. He's going to be pushed to the right direction again. So whether that is b'mokhim rabbo, the place of his rabbo, or probably means more intrinsically that a person puts himself in a position that is ready to hear to yichachas. That's a key element that a person should always be on this. Should be on the be. Able to be on the receiving side when it comes to Teichocha. So yes, the Gemara says, B'mokim Rabbo, in a place of his Rebbe, it's not always possible to live in a place where your Rebbe lives, but a person should have people around him that, and put himself in a situation that it would be potentially be okay to receive Teichocha from one side or another. Rabbi said, just we're hearing that it's the yard side of the Chofetz Chaim, and very much in line what we're learning tonight. I'm reminded of the following story. There was a near Radin, I don't know if it was near Radin or not that far from Radin, but there was one particular Yid who kept his shop open on Shabbos. There was a very severe offense, because that would make as we say in Yiddish, a kaltkite. You know, it's one thing to smoke a cigarette in private, but to start keeping a shop open, that's a very blatant chilul Shabbos, and they were concerned that that's going to lead to further and further public desecration of Shabbos. And he started talking to the person who was doing this, who had historically been a fumid. And they told him, and all he was very rude about it. And he explained that my income comes from the Shabbos. That's where my shop is. You know, 80% of my money coming in is on Shabbos. And he was very rude about it, very abrupt about it. And he had diamond to keep his shop open on Shabbos. And they tried that numerous times until they went until eventually they got to the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim leave it to me. And the story goes, there's a few nischos about this, but the way I read in one safe, which sounds very interesting, Chofetz Chaim then went to that particular place, and he spoke to him, and from that moment on, it was no public desecration of Shabbos anymore. When they approached Chofetz Chaim and asked him what did he do and everything, and he wouldn't respond until many years later. The story was shared in public. Only, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, this story was shared in public, and one person of the public then went up to the speaker and he said, you know, I can tell you what was said, because the person, pardon? Rebel one was the speaker. He said, oh, so you... and he said that what was said then was just the words Shabbos Kodesh Shabbos. Is that you heard it?
He opened up his hand. He said Shabbos. He cried, and a tear hit his hand.
So what that teaches us, here's a beautiful story. What that teaches us is that Teichocha is got to be done in a way that you're not. What obviously teaches us, Teichocha is not about you, your Mekayim Mitzvah Teichocha, you know, okay, I'm now doing the great Trotzen Hashem, I'm doing Mitzvah Teichocha. You're not going to get anywhere like this. It's about genuine care for the person, and that's what the Chofetz Chaim was the only one to actually do that. He properly, genuinely cared for that person. And that's why the Teichocha went through. And that's why the Pasuk says, because it's about yourself feeling the pain on his, for him. And you genuinely care about him. That's the only way that Teichocha actually works. Okay, so these are the lochos of this evening. And having said this, I wish you a very, very good evening.